and a very warm welcome to today's show. My name is Magla Pillay, and I have here in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. The subject that we're interested in is values, virtues, ethics, and morality. And today's topic in particular are the laws of spirituality. The format of today's show is called the Socratic Method. And for those of you who want a definition of that, it is the philosophical method of systematic doubt and questioning of another to elicit a clear expression of a truth supposed to be knowable by all rational human beings. We will be questioning some of the world's conventional views on these matters. We will analyze as well as dialogue in order to gain greater insight into and to uncover new foundations as to why humanity formulates their value systems as they do. We note that everyone is concerned about doing the right thing, but that still does not stop them from unfortunately doing the wrong things and thereby paying a very great price for it. We have an expert on the subject of the laws of spirituality, and to that end I bid a very warm welcome to Sister Denise. A very warm welcome, Sister Denise.
Thank you very much.
The laws of spirituality, it's not something that people think about generally. How would you define laws of spirituality?
Well, laws of spirituality are rather like the laws of physics. They are to be discovered rather than created. The legislature looks at situations after some problem, create laws to prevent the same problem occurring again, and then some other thing happens, and then you have to make another law to cover that eventuality, and so on. The laws of spirituality are much simpler, but they need to be discerned. And we also need to realize that if you violate them, it's not that some people or some law enforcement agency will come along and call you to task, but there is an automatic process, as if it is a machinery of the consequences. So to a very large extent, the laws of spirituality are the laws of karma, the laws of action. And we need to understand some of the nuances about it. When we criticize another person, we actually cause that person to become the way we're criticizing them, because it's an energy, it's a negative energy. Take the same person who has the same thing that you could criticize them for, and instead of that you look at them in terms of how they are when that particular character defect isn't there, they become that. So that means how you look at a person affects how they become. Now, one of the problems of our society and our culture is we have learned to be en masse very critical, and we have learned that if we are looking at people's qualities and at how beautiful they are and so on, people say, oh, you're just being impressed. And then sometimes people are just impressed, taken in. But we need to be able to see through the surface. So the law of spirituality says that if you can use what we can think of as the third eye to look at things that are not so visible with the two eyes, then you see something real and you interact with it as it really is, as opposed to interacting with appearances or something that seems to be but which isn't actually. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. Sister Denise, if the laws of spirituality are so all-encompassing as you just described, how is it that so few people know about it? And of those who do know about it, even fewer live by it. Why is it a secret?
Well, it's not a secret, but there's a lot of propaganda against it. Because we live in a very materialistic culture, and if you live by the laws of spirituality, then the materialistic culture is effectively going to be destroyed. And there is so many people, so much interest in the materialistic culture that it is, required to maintain that attitude. So even though people know otherwise, it's very difficult to work against this huge current of what I call propaganda that says, we are bodies, life is short, it's only one time, live now, pay later, it doesn't matter what you do. All of these things are false, but the message is so attractive to people who want to not have to be responsible or take responsibility or face the consequences of their actions, that they will go for it, and they have gone for it. So it's become a culture.
So spirituality is not a secret, but yet when it comes to embracing what I would think to be universal spiritual laws, there are very few people who are actually doing that. And the way it's to be visible that there are very few people who live by it is so many people are paying back in terms of the law right now.
Oh, definitely. The other thing is, what I think people don't really realize is that if you want to follow the laws of spirituality, it's going to cost you.
What price do you have to pay?
It's a very high price. It's much higher price to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing. And the message that people get is, well, it doesn't cost you anything to do the right thing. It's going to cost you to do the wrong thing. But that's not really a true message, because if you want to really do right, it takes effort, it takes guts, it takes courage, it takes commitment, it takes faith, it takes going that extra mile and taking risks, many, many things. To do the wrong thing is like the easy way out, And of course you pay, but initially not. When you want to do the right thing, you will pay up front. But what you get is personal power, very high self-esteem, and you get something, you buy something worth having, you see, because there's no free lunch.
How would one go about learning the laws of spirituality? Because there's a lot of subtlety in what you just said, there's some understanding of it. I think everybody on the planet has some idea of the law of karma, though whether they apply it or not is questionable. But how would one go about learning these laws?
I think this is one of the reasons why we're having this television program, so that we can communicate with viewers, people who are just sitting at home looking on the internet or whatever, who can really learn this stuff, because it takes a long time to appreciate the spiritualities and to sit with these ideas, talk about it, learn about it, work with it. The Brahma Kumaris have centers everywhere in the world, pretty much, where there are groups of people who study this and talk about it, so one can always be part of that. But I think there's really a good case for trying to, reach out to people and reach into people's home and say, look, this is important stuff. Need to talk about it. And I think in a way, with the two of us talking about it, and somebody who's watching will be maybe identifying with you or identifying with me and really listening and you know, thinking about how this might apply in their lives or in their relationships, and hopefully they would get some insights and as a result, you know, enhance the quality of their life.
Mm. You mentioned the law of karma. Are there any other laws of spirituality?
Well, the law of karma is the one that everybody's heard about, you know, as you sow, so you reap, and so on. But there are lots and lots of laws. Like, for example, every time a person goes against their conscience, it loses functionality. Most people don't know that.
You have to repeat that.
Every time a person does an action, or thinks a thought, or says something that actually is against their own conscience, then their conscience loses functionality, because your conscience is your most reliable indicator of whether what you're doing is right or wrong. When your conscience has lost functionality, which is the case for many people, because almost everybody, at least everybody I've asked, they say, oh yeah, at least, you know, a few times a day I will go against my conscience, which means that people's conscience is very rusty, not so functional. What happens at that time is you're obligated to rely on taking advice from somebody else, and the advice they will give you will generally be a matter of self-interest for them, or what's convenient for them. So then you put yourself into a subservient position in regard to external moral authorities, and you basically betray yourself, which I think is a very dangerous thing to do.
To betray yourself. Okay. So, manner of learning is it to find a new way of being? If you want to embrace spirituality like the way
it
you
is.
Just described.
Yes.
And what do you do with the rest of yourself that says, you know, I want that second piece of chocolate cake, or I want that and that, and yet I know it will cause harm to me or the harm to people around me.
You desire something when you're empty.
Okay.
Once you start filling, which is what meditation is all about, filling yourself up, then it's going to reduce your desires, which means that something that used to be a desire as a reaction to your emptiness doesn't come up, or at least it doesn't come up with that intensity. And maybe even a desire will come, but you just know that it's not for real, and so you don't buy into it. This is really the key, is filling up and also knowing.
Mm. Sister Denise, for a lot of people, what is right for me right now may not be right for me in 5 years' time or in 10 years' time. They use their own conscience, what you alluded to it in an earlier show, of their own moral compass. And they speak of following that gut feeling. But yet, and everything in them says, yes, on this day I should do this, I should behave in this way. But 5 years down the line you think, what the hell was I thinking? Okay, so how then do you bring the laws of spirituality to this level? Because a lot of people are influenced by their own feelings. A lot of people are influenced by the feelings of others. You're influenced by your thoughts. You're influenced by your own damage. How do you bring a law into that level of functioning?
Well, again, as you continue to fill through the meditation, the influence of your damage will reduce. Mm. The influence of others will reduce. The influence of your inner power will increase. So you're in a state of change, and your vision, the way in which you perceive circumstances, your accumulated experience, all of these things will change your views. and also therefore change your sensitivity to what's right and wrong.
So does the conscience increase when you do that?
Yes, it does. Just as it decreases when you walk against it, when you do any action against it, so when you start to really follow your conscience, which may cost you because your conscience says this is right, but everyone around you says, well, if you do that, you'll lose your job, or you'll be an outcast, or there'll be some consequences that will be told to you as a threat to keep you in line with a certain way. But you say, that doesn't gel with my conscience, so you will pay, you see.
There are times when the laws of spirituality actually clashes with other laws.
Mm-hmm.
What does one do then? The laws of the culture that you're born into, mm-hmm. the religion that you're born into. It could be the laws of your own country. What does a person do then?
Well, I think you have to take each instance on a case-by-case basis. And you have to see what is your relationship with your culture, your country, your religion. And you have to understand that you have some obligations. And you have to work out, sometimes you may have to work out a compromise which to your way of thinking is the best, given all of the things that must be taken into consideration and given your own personal power. Circumstances may change. You may become more powerful down the line. You may have some different attitudes down the line, and so every time the clash of conscience comes up, you will reevaluate it. So it's a very good thing to be skilled in the art of moral reasoning.
Skilled in the art of moral reasoning. Okay, that's quite a mouthful. I need to think about that one some more. Sister Denise, I heard you say once that in the laws of most lands, it's one can create karma or even a crime by behavior, whereas within spirituality, you just don't look at action, but one looks at inaction that can create karma. I think you use the word omission. Could you tell us more about that? Because that's also what I call a spiritual secret. That's not known.
You see, we talk about sins of commission, but it's also fairly well known, the idea of a sin of omission, which means that when it is your duty to do something and you don't do it, then you have created a karmic debt, a negative account, because you failed to do what you were supposed to do. So there's another thing which people really don't know about, again going back to these ideas of the spiritual law. Everybody knows that you shouldn't give sorrow, but the laws of spirituality say you must not take sorrow. So if you are taking sorrow, then you're doing a sin, and people don't know that. So sometimes if someone doesn't do their duty, that's a sin. Another person takes sorrow from it, that's another sin. And each one is individually responsible. But once you start doing wrong things, it triggers wrong things in other people. So it can become very, very complicated. So then another law of spirituality would be to say, look, you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for your own actions. And your relationship with every other human being is fraternal, which means your responsibility to another person is love and respect. And then if you are in a relationship which requires additional responsibility, you have to evaluate it very conscientiously and really see and test it against your conscience, because there may be a social tradition which tells you that something is your responsibility, but which from a spiritual angle is not your responsibility. They tell you it's your responsibility because they want you to do something to suit their convenience, but by doing that and by insisting on that, they go into debt to you. So a spiritual law is you try and keep yourself debt-free and keep everybody else debt-free. So it's a matter of giving and taking. Don't give too much, don't take too much. Try and keep everything level, and then you can be free.
Try and keep yourself debt-free and try and keep everyone else debt-free. That's quite a personal responsibility, isn't it?
But if you have a feel for it intuitively, that will help you to just naturally do the right thing at the right time, right place, right amount, and step back when really you sense, no, this is not required.
Whatever you shared today obviously requires a lot of thought. Does that mean spiritual people live in their head?
Well, in your heart also.
Okay.
And head also. But yes, it's important to have, I think, this balance of clear thinking and subtle sensitivity.
Okay.
Because you're not your hands and feet. You really are a being, and your capacity for rational thought is a very important part of your spirit, and your capacity for sensitive feeling or feeling for other people is also what makes you human and which contributes to yourself as a virtuous person. If you are insensitive, you're going to make mistakes without realizing.
Yes, Sister Denise, one cannot embrace the topic of spirituality without mentioning God, can one? How does he fit into the spiritual equation?
Well, everybody.
And how does he relate to, the 7 billion of us on the planet at the moment? How does he relate to everyone in each corner of the globe?
Everybody has a different idea of God. There are conventional ideas of God that are part of the dogmas and beliefs of the different religions that people subscribe to. And there are many people who try to go deep inside and figure out what does this word God mean to them. And a lot of people are allergic to the word God, you see. And so they will say, no, don't use that word for me. And they will maybe find some other word, you know. You can say the divine, you can say higher power, you can say greatest universal energy. There's just so many words that are around, because the word God has associations with it where things in the name of God have been performed that are maybe antagonistic to what that being stands for. And so there's been a lot of confusion and a lot of antagonism as a result of the history.
So somebody who embraces the laws of spirituality, does it automatically mean redefining their relationship with God?
I think as you go deeper, you become very aware that there is an energy, a being, a power that is outside of yourself, that is outside the machine of the universe, that is an intelligence that knows, and that you, if you can have access to that, you are ahead.
There's obviously an enormous amount of resistance that somebody would face when you are even thinking of embracing spirituality, because somebody who's spiritual is going this way and the rest of the world is going that way. So how do you manage the resistance? Is that not incredibly difficult?
You know, one thing that affects this question is whether you are motivated from within. If you're internally motivated, sort of independent thinking type of a person, you'll do that anyway. If you are someone who really goes with the flow and wants to be approved of, then you may not want to do this, because you will go out on a limb. Definitely. It's definitely non-conventional once you get into the inner world, because you begin to have a direct connection with your own soul and with the Supreme Being, and then you don't need anybody else. And so they don't like that.
Okay. Where does one, as far as spirituality is concerned, is there a particular aim to this? One does embrace the spirituality because you want to become a better person for yourself and for those around you. Not necessarily. Okay, but does it take you anywhere? Does it give you something that you don't get? There are a lot of people in the world who are deeply happy without an ounce of spirituality.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So I think that what does spirituality give you that you can't get from, or rather understanding and embracing spiritual life give you that you cannot get outside the ambit of spirituality?
What happens in the external world is in the material level. Once you want to understand your inner world, and you start to say, okay, I want to understand truth, which is such a large question, you know, but it comes up. Or I want to know who I am. I want to know who that is, you see. There you're going into these very subtle, almost unknowables, but you're pursuing them. So that automatically takes you away from the run-of-the-mill things of the material world, and what you get out of it is clarity. You become integrated with yourself. You sustain yourself, and you become a more complete person. Definitely more complete.
Okay, on that note of completeness, Sister Denise, I thank you profoundly for today's talk. It was extremely enlightening. I've learned something, more than a little something. I hope that you have too. And I hope that the thoughts and sentiments that Sister Denise shared is something that resonates with you. And I hope that you're able to take this conversation further to your friends and family and make your life better as a result of what you heard today. Thank you for your time, and good day.